Please be seated. Amen. Be seated, please, and you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. It's great to be together. You know, when I talked about Sean and Naomi, I said 1993. No wonder you look puzzled. They moved here in 2003. Yeah. It's a long story. They came here, became Christians, graduate school in the 90s, went back to Korea, back here. Now they're going to L.A., and we love you. And it is great to be together. So many things go on each week. We have just had week after week after week someone who's lost a relative close to them, many fathers, Sister Chuck, and now I understand Rich LaPont's lost his mother. So let's have a special prayer as we go on today. Father, we come to you knowing that you are the God of all comfort. We pray for Rich and his family and the loss of his mom, and give them the comfort and strength that only come from you. We pray for so many others in our group that we love who have in the last few days lost people. And we pray that you will be with each of them and each family. Be with us now as we look at your word and as we take communion in a little bit and as we make some commitments to you. Thank you for all you've given us and help us to keep that in mind, all we have from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are glad that you're here with us, especially if you're our guest. We've sung a lot of songs about marching to heaven. That one song, if you didn't know what you were saying, we're talking about singing and shouting and dancing for the Lord. And we are grateful to get to think about what God has done for us and really spreading the good news. Good news spreads. In this place in Matthew chapter 9, we jump in and at the end of a story, but you remember Jesus was called to the home of a man named Jairus. His daughter had died. She was 12 years old. He gets delayed along the way. We don't have that part of the story in this gospel, but one of the other gospels, he gets there. He says she's not dead. She's asleep. Everybody makes fun of him. And he raises her from the dead. And it says in verse 26, news of this spread throughout all that region. You know, if you had a relative raised from the dead, you'd be talking about it. Many, many years ago, when our children were small and we were living out in Colorado, we were driving back east and we were in the panhandle of Texas. I know we have some Texans here, so I'll be careful what I say, but the panhandle of Texas is a whole lot of nothing. I mean, you drive and drive and drive, and you find a gas station, and you may find a sign that's like the next one is 50 miles or something. So we pulled off at this little convenience store gas station in the middle of nowhere. I go in, I buy gas. The proprietor is a middle-aged woman. She looks at me, and she said, you wouldn't want to see a picture of my little granddaughter, would you? Now, I have to admit it. I understand now. At that time, I kind of thought, no, I wouldn't. I'm eager to get on the road. But I didn't say that. And I saw a picture of this beautiful little granddaughter. We get that now, don't we, many of us? Amen. In fact, show that picture there, Curtis, please. I don't have a monitor here. He's getting it. Okay. That's yesterday in California. Jameson Craig, the grandson of Larry and Mary Lou Craig, at the L.A. teen prom. Amen. Yeah. He's a handsome kid, isn't he? My goodness. Finishes up a sophomore year in high school. Now, I would really like to show you a picture then of Marshall and Cora, and then Coda and Micah and Hadassah, and then Hannah and Boone and Lucian. Would you like to see all those? Okay, we can't do that. This is church. We're supposed to be... Okay, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. But I'd be glad to answer questions afterwards about any of them. Tell you about all their accomplishments and good points, and they all have nothing but good points, of course. We share good news, don't we? We We talk about things that matter to us. You see that in the life of Jesus. Take a little quick trip with me. Mark chapter 1. These are going to be in chronological order here, at least the way the gospel is laid out, so easy to follow. Mark chapter 1. You know, beginning in verse 21, it's Jesus drives out an evil spirit. And you get over to verse 26. Mark 1 of 26. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Why? Because people couldn't stop talking about this man and what he'd done. Over in verse 45, there's a man that had been healed of leprosy. And Jesus said, look at 43. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people came to him from everywhere. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 is when Jesus heals this man possessed by demons. He sends the demons into the pigs, and they run off the cliff and drown. And it's just a very dramatic scene. Because here, in verse 18 of Matthew 5, as Jesus was getting to the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." Sometimes Jesus said, "Don't tell." Here he said, "Tell." You think this man was embarrassed or ashamed to tell? He'd been demon-possessed. He'd been living in tombs. He was messed up. In verse 20, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis. That's, you know what Decapolis is? What is that? 10 cities. How much Jesus had done for him. Over in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 36. Here Jesus heals a man who's deaf and mute. In verse 36, Jesus commanded him not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more people kept talking about it. I was talking to one of you a little while ago who was a school teacher. Feel like sometimes the more you say, be quiet, the more they talk. Said the more Jesus said, not talk, the more people talked. We can look at a lot of other places. John 4, you know, Jesus talks to the woman at the well in Samaria, and she's baffled by his knowledge of her life and then what he came to bring, living water. And she goes into the city and says, what? This man told me everything I ever did. Not quite, but it seemed like that. And good news. And people came out and said, we want to see this. And now we believe, not just because of what she said, because of what we see for ourselves. Jesus has rescued us when we are Christians. He's delivered us. He's healed us of more significant things than these people who got physical healing. And so we spread the good news, don't we? That's why we talk to friends and foes. Some of you are here as Christians because some random person started up a conversation with you, invited you to church. And you may have thought, that person has no friends, I guess. They're talking to me, but okay, I'll go see. We beg and bribe our family members to come. And if you're here because somebody's been bugging you, it's because we are trying to share the good news. Because the gospel means we're free. Free from more significant things than the things that these people faced in the stories we've read about. But we understand they're saying, let me tell you what happened. You won't believe it. And we say to people, let me tell you what happened. You won't believe it. You won't believe what I used to be like. And we share here in this great metropolitan area in which God's allowed us to live. And we were talking in the teacher's service earlier. It's kind of interesting to talk about mission work. Because we're on a pretty significant mission field, aren't we? Arguably one of the most influential cities in the whole world. Of 20, 25 million people, depending how far out you go. And so we're trying to spread the good news about what Jesus has done. And you know, that's really what special contribution is about. The videos we've seen, 53 different ministries we're trying to help. Because we can't all go to foreign places. We're trying to spread the news here where we are. Some of you have gone on mission teams in years past. Some of you became Christians on some mission team where people deliberately went to tell the good news. Most of us won't be able ever to do that. There's still a need. And as the weeks progress, we're going to be talking about that need for people not only to send, but for people to go. But what we do even with our money makes a big difference. We give our money year after year to spread the good news. And I'm excited about that. I really look forward to this opportunity to say, okay, I can't go perhaps and live in Jamaica. That'd be nice sometimes, especially in February. I can't live perhaps in Haiti or in Abidjan. I had a year of French in high school, but oh my goodness. But I can make a difference there. And Syracuse and Albany and all of these places. So that's really what we're thinking about today. In a little bit, we're going to think about the cross, because that's really why not only are we free, but that's the good news we're trying to share. What Jesus has done for us. If we look at that first chart, please, Curtis, just so you know what we're doing, this is pretty much similar as in other years. Our special contribution, about 10% of it is our normal weekly offering. We just collect it all together so it's not too complicated. 64% of it goes to foreign missions, as you've seen. And we'll have a little more information about that in just a minute. 26% NYCC, that means New York City Church of Christ. I know you know that. Operations, because that's our mission field. Russ is going to be sharing some things next week. And the next week, Ross and Rob are going to be sharing some things. I'll say again, I wish we could put NYCCOC operations in parentheses, our mission field. Maybe we can change that, Chris. Because we are on a significant mission field. And we just look at this room. We've come from all over the world to be here in this part of the world to be ambassadors for Christ. The next chart, and I do appreciate Chris in our office presenting these. Hopefully you can see this is how it breaks down our foreign missions support. We are pretty much the only church in our fellowship with the help of we in Central Jersey that supports Haiti. We got a bunch of people here from Haitian background, right? Amen. I usually get a bigger amen than that, but amen. We do a significant work in Africa. That's African missions allocation. What does that mean? Our fellowship of churches has formed some kind of missions, associations, and societies to help distribute what goes to different parts of the world to make sure people are getting what they need and so forth. So basically, we are still giving primarily to support French-speaking West Africa and funneled through the African Missions Association. Albany, great work that the Rimples are doing in Albany. Evelyn's mom's here somewhere and part of our fellowship. You've seen Syracuse today. Jamaica, Jamaica Mon. We're helping with Jamaica, right, Sam? Amen. Amen. Mission Training Academy, what's being led by Steve Kennard and Rob Novak and Ross Lippincott to train young people to go in the ministry. You saw those people on the stage a couple of weeks ago. 30-something people this summer being trained. That is so awesome. All right, thank you, Curtis. Here's what we're doing. You know, it's the same thing we've done many years. First of all, let me say this. You and I make a difference. Whether you give a little or a lot, it makes a difference. And we're going to talk about the cross in a few moments, and we're going to, you know, take our little anonymous commitments in a little bit. Our goal is the same as it's been for many years now. That we average at least $365 a member or $730 a couple. Now, disclaimer, many of us do way, way more than that. Many of you do way, way more than that. And please keep doing that. But that's a great goal. And just to encourage you, we've exceeded that goal as a whole church the last couple of years. And New Jersey has far exceeded that goal. And I've got to say again, the New Jersey region is awesome. I kind of quit using that word because it got so overused, you know. Your McDonald's hamburger was awesome. No, it's not. But the New Jersey Church of Christ, the New York City Church of Christ in New Jersey is awesome. Just like last Sunday, our little kids got up and promoted a photo booth and sold cupcakes and made $800 because you're awesome. And so I know that, again, this year we will exceed what the elders of our congregation, including me, are asking us to do. But we've got to talk for a minute, again, why. This isn't just something we do every year so we can have this video and see this church planting. Oh, that's great. Why? Because the gospel is good news. Because of the cross, we are forgiven. And we want other people to know that around our world, and particularly in the part of the world that we feel an acute responsibility for. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And I want to just say right now, I'm trying to set you up a little bit. I'm going someplace with this to tug on your heart. Recently, somebody said to me, I think I saw where you were going with that. Okay, let me just tell you where I'm going with this. The cross means we are grateful. And our response of gratitude often involves our money. This is such a powerful passage. As always, I wish we didn't kind of have to jump in the middle. Go read all of 2 Corinthians here in a few days if you want to see the context of Paul and the gospel in jars of clay, and we're shedding it, and we're going to stand before God, so we're trying to help people. But when you jump in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Paul says, for Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live, that's us, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen, church. The old is gone. Praise the Lord. The new has come. You know, hallelujah. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. What a phrase. The first part, Christ's love, the cross. And Paul says, because of that, God doesn't count my sins against me. If you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, God is not counting your sins against you. That is good news. And Paul says it's news we want to share. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He's saying, you know what? Spread the good news. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Just like when people saw Jesus' miracles, you could not shut them up. As we realize the cross and what's happened to us, you can't stop us from talking about it. You can't stop us from inviting people. You can't stop us from trying to say, would you sit down and study the Bible? You can't stop us from giving our money so someplace across an ocean can do those things, because we can't go ourselves. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And then he says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then, oh, this is such an amazing sentence. Verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you belong to Jesus, God looks at you and he looks at your life and gives you the grade that Jesus made living his life. You know, in school, when you take it, I always think about this. You know, I went all through school with some of the same bunch of kids. There were two kids in my class that were so stinking smart. I won't tell you their last names. You don't know them anyway, but Clay and Jane. I mean, I made okay, pretty good grades, but not like Clay and Jane. One was the valedictorian and one was the salutatorian. And they were probably a fraction of a percentage point apart. And sometimes, you know that feeling, some of you, teens, you probably never had this feeling, but you go sit down and open up paper on a test and you think, where in the world did this stuff come from? I thought I studied. I thought I took notes. I thought I stayed awake. Where did this stuff come from? What if when Mrs. Rydell got my paper, she got it confused with James' paper, and I got James' grade? Awesome. Is that what Paul says God's done for our lives? He said, okay, you know, I know you tried. Sometimes you weren't really trying, but overall you were trying. I see that. So I'm just going to put your grade paper aside and give you the grade of Jane and Clay, who always made 100 plus, 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 and that's your grade now. That's what the cross did for us. We're going to take communion in just a moment. I'd like the ushers, if you would, to get the trays, and you can come down and find your places. Because as we think about what Jesus did, you know, I'm always trying to think about things that help me get in touch with what Jesus did on the cross. The sacrifice that he made for us. Something happened this past Tuesday you may have seen on the news. There were two young men from Georgia, 22 years old. They were best friends. They'd gone to high school together. They'd gone to college together. They were in the mountains of North Carolina, western North Carolina, near a waterfall, exploring. Their names were Joseph and Davis. Davis slipped and fell about 40 feet to a ledge. His best friend Joseph saw him, tried to climb down to help him, lost his footing, fell 150 feet to the bottom, and died immediately. Now, Davis eventually passed away the next day. But it took 2 hours for the rescuers to get to him on his ledge. And according to the news report, he was not only alive but conscious when they got there. And as I heard about that, I kept thinking what he must have been thinking and feeling, knowing that his best friend had just died trying to rescue him. That's intense. What must have been going through his mind? Times they'd spent together, questioning himself, why he'd been too close, all kinds of things. What must he have been thinking about? Knowing a life was given, trying to save him. And I thought about Jesus saying to his followers, greater love has no man than this, than he do what? Lay down his life for his friends. That's what happened. But you know, Paul puts a whole other dimension on it in Romans 5, where he says, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Not just because we were best friends growing up together, but while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And that's why Paul can say, you know what? Christ's love controls us because he died for us. To give us his grade for living in my life and your life. And I've got to say, as we get ready to take communion, if you're here and you know you're not a Christian, this is what it's all about. Jesus dying so that you can be forgiven. Yes, it's a better life we live. And yes, there are all kinds of blessings. And I'm glad we're marching to heaven's road and we've got some place to look forward to. But the bottom line is, it's about our sins and getting them forgiven. And that's what he did. And we take this bread and it reminds us that, you know, apparently as the one man fell trying to help the other, his life was snuffed out very quickly. But not Jesus' life. Jesus hung on a cross in pain. He gave his body so we can be forgiven. Let's pray for the bread. Father, thank you so much. We really don't have words to thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you for his body. Thank you he was willing to give himself for us because he's our friend, but also even when we were living as his enemies. Thank you that we can remember his body. We want to be grateful. We want to be motivated. We want to respond in practical gratitude day by day. But thank you now especially that we can take this bread and remember Jesus' body. Remember that he gave it for us. Bless us as we take it. In Jesus' name, amen.